The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I hate to be that guy, but I was the one who had it right.
Do you hate to be that guy?
I don't think he hates to be that guy.
Not even a little bit.
Candidly, I love to be that guy.
I said dumb stuff. And you know what? Sometimes I tweet dumb stuff.
Stick that in that one analytics toolbox of yours. You look like a tool when it doesn't work.
At, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, not too many of my guests are drinking scotch.
Speak for yourself, Mike.
Players in the locker room don't like Timmy Toughnut coaches when you're losing football games.
Who knew that was coming? We're not nearly mature enough to sit through Timmy Toughnut. Dominique Foxworth, dressed like an English professor today.
Accessorized.
Keep the camera on me and see how handsome I look today.
Okay. Accessorized.
It's 77 degrees, but okay.
Accessorized.
He is looking smooth aft.
You, Mike, you got to start doing interviews in tank tops.
Do I take the Eagles or do I take the Giants? The Giants.
That's right.
I own you. I own you, Pimpo.
That's a lot. There's a lot happening there.
There's a lot.
I got a few dollars in my pocket. We gonna turn up when I get home, Ma. Peace.
So much fun every single morning. We're so grateful every time you choose to get up with us. We come to you live every weekday from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. The house is packed today, and we are ready to go. Let's roll it, because hour number two, it's time to get up with Do You Still Believe Land. The banged-up Browns looking to save their season as they kicked off the weekend. We've got the Thursday night highlights. Then two of the NFL's best going head-to-head with absolutely everything at stake for both. Who has the edge Sunday in Nashville? We're picking winners. And oh, what a night. Threes and home runs galore. You need to see it all, and you will. In just the next 10 minutes, we're getting up with you, starting right now. Sacho, here we go. Game of the night, Thursday night football. Browns at home looking to take on the Broncos, and they're banged up. No Baker Mayfield, first game he's ever missed. Case Keenum, the one thing you can do if you're Cleveland, run the ball.
Yes, feed the beast. Is that Kareem? No, is that Nick? No, that's the Ernest Johnson getting 22 carries, 146 yards. Feed him.
Don't I know what I picked them up on my fantasy team, and I cheered him in the end zone. So that's a four-yard run. Browns up 7-0 early. First play, second quarter. Broncos down 10-0. Teddy Bridgewater, yikes.
Yes, questionable pass, but great play by the defense. Teddy B, you got to not turn the ball over. You want to keep your team in the game.
It's a wasted opportunity. Then things get worse for Denver here. I just want you to watch it. We spot shadow him there. Von Miller, one of the great players in the league. You'll see at the end of the play here, he's going to run into a teammate. It looked bad.
Yeah, it looked bad. He's been a dominant force since college. He's been dominating at A&M and the NFL, and this injury does not look good. Hopefully, Von is healthy because he's a dominant, dominant edge rusher.
He said the x-ray came back clean, so we'll see where it goes. Browns up 10-0 at the half. Third quarter, Broncos trying to hang in there. Watch Melvin Gordon fighting for the end zone.
Yeah, this gave Denver life. He clawed, scratched, whatever it took to get in the end zone to give his team a touchdown, not a field goal in that situation.
So it's 10-7, late third now. Cleveland going for it on a 4th-and-3. And how about crafty Case Keenum?
Yes, we talked about touchdowns over field goals in the red zone. Case Keenum was brave and courageous on this play. Got a little juke, got a little move, and got the first down.
Yeah, they would rule him down at the 1-yard line, and so Mayfield liked it from the sideline, and on the very next play, you know they're going to run it, right? Because that's what the Browns do. No, they're not.
Yeah, so this is what defenses hate. You got a goal line formation. You think it's going to be a run. All of a sudden, it's a pass in the end zone.
Sneaky Cleveland. Johnny Stanton the touchdown. So it's 17-7. 5 minutes to go. Broncos trying to keep this a game. They've got something in Javonte Williams.
Yeah, they do. Javonte Williams out of North Carolina has been special this year, specifically this game. He gives them a special kind of energy and burst at running back.
But that would cut it to 3, which means the Browns can run out the clock, and that's literally what they do. They run out the clock. That's Johnson. He would finish with 146 yards. So by any means necessary, the Browns find a way to win a game they desperately needed. They entered the week leading the NFL in rushing yards per game, yards per rush, and yards after contact per rush. And again, they did all this, exceeding all those numbers last night without Nick Chubb, without Kareem Hunt. So an interesting night for a team that desperately needed a win. And it feels to me like there were sort of big picture and small picture questions that come out of this game. Let's start with the big picture. Rob Ninkovich, you called this game Baker Mayfield's worst nightmare. Why?
Well, Baker Mayfield's trying to get a contract, and he's trying to be the guy in Cleveland for a long time. And if you're Cleveland, you watch this game, you say, listen, we're a talented football team. We can run the football. We can throw in the play-action pass. We just had a quarterback that came in when Baker's banged up, and he's able to do the same exact thing. So they're looking at this, and they're like, well, why would we buy a Cadillac when we can just go get a Tahoe, and it'll do the same thing for us? It can win football games. So when I look at this, Baker Mayfield and his camp, they're probably like, well, we need to get back out there, because every game that the backup quarterback goes out there, runs the football effectively, mixes in the play-action pass, and wins, the Cleveland Browns have to look at this and say, well, why would we guarantee $40 to $45 million a year when that's we don't have to do that? We can keep certain players on our roster. We can keep other guys paid defensively, and we don't have to put ourselves in a situation where we've seen other teams go pay a quarterback and they make a mistake.
RC, what do you think of the point and the analogy?
First off, I love the analogy because see what happened? Because I remember this, right? When Escalades came out, I wanted an Escalade because they were super nice and it seemed like the football car to get, but I was on my first deal, so I ain't have Escalade money. But if you went and bought a Tahoe, it was like the same thing, but it wasn't really the same thing. Like when people was buying 300s and thinking they looked like Bentleys, but they really didn't. Like that was where I was, so I really understood what Rob was saying. But the problem is this, Case Keenum isn't even a Tahoe. And also, ooh, Baker Mayfield's not an Escalade. And I don't think they're going to pay him like he deserves Escalade money. But when you look at this team is now showing you that they have a bully characteristic. And I know we're in a world where we don't like bullies, but football is the one place where that's good. They bullied the Denver Broncos last night. The worst thing in the world is to know a team is going to do something and not be able to stop them. That game looked like a four-minute drill. And I know Sacho and Neek and Graz know exactly what I'm talking about the entire game. The four-minute drill is when a team is coming out on the field and they want to milk the clock and they're just going to run the football and punt it if you stop them. The Cleveland Browns did that from the first play until the last. Think about this. The Ernest Johnson slides down to not score a touchdown late in the game. They get a penalty and it's now 3rd and 7. He just comes right back and gets the first down. That's who the Cleveland Browns are. That's who they are with Case Keenum. That's who they are with Baker Mayfield, and they need to believe that. They need to understand that and play that way throughout the season no matter who the quarterback is.
All right, Dan Graziano, you're one of the best NFL insiders in the business. Here's a question no one's ever asked you. What kind of car do the Browns think Baker Mayfield is?
I was trying to think about that. I couldn't come up with the answer. Well, it's between the Tahoe and the Escalade. But look, the issue with Baker Mayfield is this.
It's a Denali.
All right, there you go, a Denali. That's what they would think he is. They like him. They want to keep him around. They would extend him. They don't probably want to pay him what Josh Allen makes, what Patrick Mahomes makes. So I think there's a number that the Cleveland Browns won't go over to keep Baker Mayfield. And so far, that hasn't been a number that he has liked.
All right. And so we see the question on the screen. I like it. Will the shoulder injury ruin his season? Let's talk then just about the season rather than about his long-term picture. The Browns came into this season as a Super Bowl contender. There's at least one person sitting here who picked them to go to the Super Bowl. So they get a win they needed last night. Are those kind of goals still realistic for this Browns team?
Well, Super Bowl is a little bit lofty, and the reason why is because of their schedule, right? They still have to play the Ravens twice. The Bengals are 4-2, so that'll play the Bengals twice. So you talk about Super Bowl, I think that's a little bit questionable. When it comes to making, and they got to play the Packers too, by the way.
Yeah.
When it comes to making the playoffs, there is a chance they can get in that 7th seed. Now, obviously, the AFC, there are some of these teams that are rising. Look at the LA Chargers are rising. Kansas City's not playing well. They might be a wild card team. And so I look at the schedule and I get concerned when it comes to Super Bowl conversations. But when it comes to making the playoffs, you could stick to what RC said, that running attack, dominant offensive line play, playing good defense. And you could sneak in the playoffs and make a little bit of noise.
Yeah, if you saw that on that screen, if you're paying close attention, they play the Ravens twice in a 3-week stretch there at the end of November into December, which is interesting. RC, Browns, all the injuries, et cetera. Are they a playoff team this year?
They can be a playoff team, but they aren't a Super Bowl contender. And that's more the issue to me, Greeny, because coming into this season, that's what we said. When you looked at this roster, you looked at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster, you looked at the Cleveland Browns roster, and you said those are the two top rosters, top to bottom in the NFL. One of those teams is playing that way with all of their injuries. If you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns are not. Whether they're healthy in the backfield or not, this team isn't playing at a championship level. And so I believe that those goals and those expectations have now come back down to the mean. And you're just saying, Cleveland Browns, can you at least do what you did last year?
That's because Tom Brady is what's the most expensive? He's a Maybach. He's whatever he is. Whatever the most expensive car you can get
whatever
is.
Whatever you sit in the back of and not in the front,
vintage,
Greeny.
He's got that. Vintage Rolls Royce. Yes. It's always shined up real nice.
Name the car. Tom Brady is it. And candidly, probably has it. Okay. We have much more football as we go. But let me get you to the other huge performances of the night. One of them came from that guy, Chris Taylor of the Dodgers, in a game his team desperately needed. Braves looking to close out the NLCS last night in Game 5, and it started well for Atlanta. That's Freddie Freeman in the first inning with a runner on, taking Joe Kelly out of the ballpark. So the Braves had a 2-0 lead, so it was a dangerous spot for the Dodgers. But then Chris Taylor just took over this game. That one is crushed to left. So the Dodgers have a 3-2 lead. Now we're going bottom of five. Dodgers are up 4-2. Chris Taylor, second verse, same as the first. Bam, that's an 0-2 pitch, deep center field. Second of the game for Taylor. Dodgers a 6-2 lead. And then he's got more. Bottom of seven, still 6-2. Taylor again. Taylor again. That's his third home run. So he's 4-for-5 last night with 3 homers and 6 ribs. Give that man a curtain call. He keeps the season alive for the Dodgers. They win it by a score of 11-2 as Taylor becomes the first player ever with 3 home runs in a postseason elimination game. He's also the 5th player in National League history with 3 home runs in any postseason game, the first to do it since former Dodger Kike Hernandez in 2017. So, speaking of threes, I just want you to feast your eyes on the chef, Steph Curry and the Warriors hosting the Clippers. What I'm about to show you, all these threes are in the first quarter last night against the Clippers. He was 9-for-9 from the floor, 5-for-5 from three in the first. 25 points for Steph Curry in the first quarter last night as he and the Warriors got off to a ridiculous start. But that wasn't the whole game. Paul George would respond. Second quarter, Clips are down 15. But Paul George had some answers last night. He could knock down threes of his own. That one makes it a 12-point game. Now they're only down by 8, and here comes George again. This is going to make it a 5-point game. Clippers actually led this game at halftime, 67-66. Let's go to where it's decided. A minute to go. Warriors down by 1. Where are you going? Where else? Steph Curry. Bang! He would score 45. Warriors up by 2. Less than 10 seconds to go. Clippers are down by 4. Paul George, he had 29. 3 seconds left. Clippers down by 2. Zubats needs to miss this second free throw here, and he does, and they've got a chance at the ball, but they don't get it off in time. That would not have counted even had it gone. So despite the 29 from George, Warriors win a thriller 115-113. More basketball as we continue here. He wants out. The fans want him out. Ben Simmons, however, may not be going anywhere for a while. You'll find out why as we continue. Plus, Aaron Rodgers with a case of deja vu. Is it possible it's going to be a super season for the Packers star? We'll talk about that, and we'll do this. Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. Here's the question. Which team has lost the most conference championship games since the merger? That's the question. The answer's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back. Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. The Packers have lost the NFC Championship game each of the last 2 years.
That's
We're going to talk about them in a minute. The question is, which team has lost the most conference championship games?
I mean, it's the 49ers. I know the answer is 49ers. The easy question. I don't know where Hembo is. I don't know why he's not showing up to do this in person. He's mailing in the questions. I don't know. But he wanted, I guess, did he want me to say the Packers?
Can I disagree with you on one thing?
What?
It's not an easy question.
It's not.
Why was
nine?
That
nine.
Easy? Yeah, it's right. But why is that? The Steelers have lost 8. The Raiders are 7. Hembo just said, I hate. Why was that so easy?
Probably because how old I am. I remember when the 49ers were in that game all the time.
No,
right?
I do too, yeah. But that doesn't mean it's an easy question.
Some things you just happen to know.
All right, so let me just say this. Graziano, who is always right, is wrong about one thing.
You want to do the Rex Ryan? I owe you.
Yeah. Right now, the 39ers are up 39-38.
There's not that much time left. I'm not on the show every single day.
Graziano,
you better start catching up.
Opening up a lead on Hembo. Meanwhile, we are going to talk about the Packers here because they began their season with a disaster. They got blown out by the Saints, 35 points, the worst of Aaron Rodgers' career, just his third career game with no touchdowns and multiple picks. Remember, we were all worried? Well, not so much anymore. Green Bay has won 5 straight since then, becoming the second team in history to win 5 straight immediately after a season-opening loss by 35 points or more, and most of that has to do with their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, the best total QBR since the start of Week 2. Only Tom Brady has a better touchdown to interception ratio during that span. And Aaron Rodgers says his team feels super.
This season is beginning to remind me a little bit of a season over a decade ago where we've had a number of injuries and in the course of the season added certain pieces to the mix that ended up playing a big role down the line. I think you guys can imagine what season I'm talking about, which is a good thing.
All right, Aaron Rodgers says this reminds him of his Super Bowl team. No one knows that team better than Ryan Clark, who played them in that Super Bowl. Why are you shaking your head like that, RC?
Why do they do it to you, man?
Boy, because Aaron Rodgers is lying. I'm talking about lying. Like, I'm talking about he is the Lion King, a weem away. Like, I don't even know. Listen, I played that team. One, Aaron Rodgers is still really, really good. Probably not the same. There was this dude named Jordy Nelson who, if you ran up on him the wrong way, you was finna get ran by. And then it was a guy named Greg Jennings. Oh, yeah, he was a Pro Bowler, too. Oh, on the other side, Nick Collins, who would have been a Hall of Famer if not for a neck injury. The dude that got the pick six that really put that team up. Yeah, he was there. Clay Matthews, the guy, got the fumble on Rashard Mendenhall. Yeah, he not there neither. Then it was Tremont Williams. Oh, Charles Woodson played on that team. Is there a Charles Woodson in Green Bay, period? I mean, just in Wisconsin as a whole, is there? Not on the team, just period. As a whole, is there a Charles Woodson in that city? Absolutely not. And so, is this team okay? Absolutely. Is this team even good? Absolutely. They ain't that team. They aren't Super Bowl favorites like I felt like they were coming into the playoffs. Matter of fact, they're a wild card team. And I'm going to say this. You normally do not watch the game before you go out and play. The TVs are on, but you aren't really focusing. We're playing in the AFC Championship after Chicago and Green Bay, and we're watching the game for one reason. We were cheering for the Bears. We wanted Jay Cutler because we would have had another Super Bowl ring. We didn't want that Aaron Rodgers team to win. I would not be scared of this Aaron Rodgers team.
Yeah, it's an interesting. Charles Woodson was the defensive player of the year that year. So there was all of that. So, Sacho, I guess the question is, as you watch this year's Packers, do they look like a Super Bowl team to you?
They don't. They don't. They look like a team that can get to the NFC Championship and lose. And that's kind of what I see. And the reason I say that is Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. There's no arguing what he is and who he is. But the team around him, you look at the teams that are also in the NFC, the Tampa Bay roster is a much better roster, right? Arizona Cardinals, roster-wise, you could say a better roster. Aaron Rodgers individually, talk about, okay, I own the Bears, right? Then who owns you when it comes to NFC Championship games? And so yes, the Packers are one of the top five teams in the NFC. When it comes to winning a Super Bowl, I don't think they're that team.
You have their game this week, Graziano. They're playing Washington. What are your thoughts as you are talking to people about them?
Yeah, everybody should listen to that game on ESPN Radio. They have an especially handsome trivia expert as the sideline reporter this week. But no, I think Green Bay needs to dominate this game, right? I mean, Washington is in a very bad place right now. They're banged up. They're not playing well on either side of the ball. And this is a game, if you are a Super Bowl contending team, which Green Bay wants to be, obviously Aaron Rodgers trying to speak that into existence, you have to push around a team like Washington. So I think if Green Bay struggles to win this game, like they did a couple weeks ago in Cincinnati, not that Cincinnati's a bad team, but you understand what I'm saying, I think then we have reason to wonder. At some point, I think those injuries on the back end catch up with them. But I don't think it's this week. And if it is, then I think there's alarm bells going off.
All right, so the Packers get a win here, they'd be 6-1, which is a nice place to be. All right, meantime, it is time for this morning's fundamental list as we asked Ryan Clark to put together his list of the top five most important players the rest of the way this season. RC, the list, as always, is yours. Take it away.
And as I always have to say, especially when Dan Graziano is on this list on the show, don't ask these folks about my list. And why is that, Greeny? Because it's my list. And at number five, I'm going Patrick Mahomes. And I already know what you're going to say. This could be an all quarterback list. It should be an all quarterback list, but it ain't. It's going to be about the special quarterbacks and the quarterbacks that got to do so much to get their teams where they have to go. If Patrick Mahomes doesn't stop the turnovers, if Tyreek Hill can't stop footballs from bouncing off of his hands, if they don't stop turning the football over as an offensive squad, then the Kansas City Chiefs don't get to the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs don't go to the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs don't get that next ring. But if Patrick Mahomes gets back to playing at that MVP level, the turnovers are cut out, the defense could just play a little bit, we can see this team ball down the stretch. But without Pat, they are nothing. And at number four, Jalen Ramsey. And yeah, I picked the defensive player. I picked the DB. And he's the most important DB that's playing football right now. You want your number one receiver shut down? Put Jalen Ramsey on him. You want the best blitzer from the slot? Put Jalen Ramsey in the slot. You want a tight end to be hassled and hangled all day? Put Jalen Ramsey on him. Jalen Ramsey can absolutely do it all. He can play nickel. He can play the left corner. He can play the right corner. He can go man. He can go zone. He's the best tackling defender in the secondary in the league. And Jalen Ramsey will be the reason that Raheem Morris and his defense plays well. Without him, they are nothing, even with Aaron Donald. And I'm going Devontae Adams at number three for the Green Bay Packers. I get it. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers throws it to everybody. Aaron Rodgers does not throw it to everybody. Aaron Rodgers throws it to Devontae Adams. The whole world knows Devontae Adams is getting the ball and nobody ever stops him. I'm watching the game. I don't even see the formation. There's sometimes Devontae Adams ain't even on the field. And I'm saying he gonna throw it to Devontae Adams. And most of those times it's an incomplete pass to the sideline that he's throwing away and Devontae Adams still catches it. That's how important he is to this team. And he is more important to this team than Aaron Rodgers is. At number two, Derrick Henry. Why? Because I finally come around. Derrick Henry, you the best runner of the football in the world. And that's on any level. High school, little league, flag, whatever you want to say it. Powder puff, all that. You the best in the world at doing what you do. So they just need to keep giving it to you. Because if they don't give it to you, you guys absolutely stink on offense. I watched that game this week. If you wasn't balling, y'all wasn't winning. It was actually going to be a blowout. And in the beginning of the season, when they thought they'd be a passing team against the Arizona Cardinals, y'all did get blown out. Then Mike Vrabel remembered, oh crap, you're 250 pounds and you can run 22 miles an hour. We saw that this week. We got to see it again against the Kansas City Chiefs and the rest of the season, or Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans are going to be watching with me in my very Tennessee Titans V-neck sweater. And at number one, it is Lamar Jackson. Why? Because his team actually stinks around him. They're not very good. They have a lot of guys hurt. The running backs all my age. Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, all these dudes, they started playing when RC started playing. I can't even walk real fast, much less run. But Lamar Jackson is playing at a level so much higher than even his MVP season. He's become a great passer from the pocket. He's pushing the football down the field. The air yards that his footballs are traveling on completions are more than he's ever had in his life. And we all know he's the best athlete on the field whenever he's there. That's my list. I don't care what Graz says. I don't care what Sacho says. I don't care what Nico says. And even if Himbo does some cool stat thing, I still don't care because it's my list. And stop screaming in my ear, Fink.
I love it. And you know what? I'm not letting anybody say anything. We're letting the list speak for itself. Coming up next, we're talking about Tom Brady. What down is it? how last year's blunder against the Bears changed everything for Tampa Tom. Can he avoid the upset this year? That's next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, game of the night. Thursday night football kicking off the NFL weekend. Browns, Broncos, banged up Browns. Baker Mayfield missing his first game ever. But, Sacho, the one thing that Case Keenum or any quarterback can do is hand it off.
Yes, so when you have a running game like the Cleveland Browns, a team that is the number one in running, you will follow those O-liners.
Yeah, last night it was D'Ernest Johnson, who was spectacular, 34 yards on the first drive alone. And just like that, the Browns were up by a 7-0 score. Late third now, Cleveland going for it on a 4th-and-3, and Keenum does it himself.
Yes, bold move. You want touchdowns, not field goals. Case Keenum gets you close to the end zone, and then they do the rest.
Yeah, that sets up this here. He's going to find Johnny Stanton coming out of the backfield for the score. So sneaky Browns. You figure they run it all night, but they throw it down there by the goal line. And then it's D'Ernest Johnson again. When they're just trying to run the game out in the 4 minute late, he takes care of it here. 8 yards when they needed 7, and they do run it out. D'Ernest Johnson ran for 146 yards by any means necessary. The Browns get the win 17-14. Meanwhile, let's look ahead at this NFL weekend by looking back. To begin with, last year, week 5, Tom Brady, that's the game where he famously lost track of downs, and the Bears would beat the Bucs 20-19. And this week, Brady was talking about that rare mistake.
Seems like a long time ago, but actually, it wasn't that long ago. So, yeah, that hasn't happened very often in my career. For some reason, that happened at that moment. But yeah, that was a tough loss, and I think we learned a lot from that loss that last year. We have a chance to win the game in 2 minutes. By going down and kicking a field goal, and we don't get the job done.
And we sort of stumbled onto this topic here earlier, but Nico, if you really think about it, it's hard to say about a guy who was 43 years old at the time, but think how much that team has grown since then and how much Brady has grown. We were having conversations about, are they comfortable? Is he comfortable? Is it the right offense? Is it the right coach? Boy, does that feel like a very long time ago now. Look where the Bucs have gone since that day.
Yeah, and I had to listen to everybody. Oh, Tom is so old. He forgot what down it was. No. That motivated Tom. He made a mistake. We all make mistakes. We're human. That happens, right? So he did this, and there was the memes of him doing this, and it's more. But guess what? In this game, he might not even see fourth down because they're going to be throwing the football all around. So listen, Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, and all the so-called experts out there were saying, oh, Tom's over, though. He can't get back there. He can't win it again. He's forgetting what down it is. And then Tampa goes out there, and they win a Super Bowl. So, listen, I'm not betting against Tom Brady. I'm going with Tom Brady. They're too good. They found their mojo, and we can see it. It's clicking on all cylinders.
RC, the one thing the Bears defense, or the one thing the Bears have been good at is defense, generally speaking, this season. Is there anything that defense can do to slow down Tampa, Tom? No one has so far this year, really.
Yeah, I mean, you can put pressure on the quarterback. I mean, we saw that last year when you got pressure in Tom Brady's face when Khalil Mack was hitting him consistently. Obviously, that affects any quarterback. That even affects the GOAT, Tom Brady. That's going to be important. But outside, guys like Jalen Johnson, you know, guy like Eddie Jackson in the middle of the field, we're going to need to see them make some plays on the football. And also, the best defense is a great offense. Run the football, take your shots against this beat-up Tampa Bay secondary with Justin Fields. The one thing we've seen him do is push the ball down the football field. If this team can hit some big plays, make Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to them and now get an opportunity to rush the passer, that is their best opportunity or their best chance to win this game. The Bears have the tools defensively, but if they don't let Justin Fields push the ball and score some points, they won't even be close to what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can do.
What do you think, Satch?
Yeah, Bears have no chance. I'm just saying, like, we've been waiting. Like, RC, are you
okay? Good.
Well, we've been waiting for three years for the Bears to push the ball down the field. Like 2018, Matt Nagy, Bears going down the field. In 2019, kind of not really. In 2020, not at all. Then 21, it's like, when will they finally do it? That's what so it's like they got no chance because they're not doing it.
So who's got the guts to pick an upset here? So we'll put the pick bars up and we'll make our picks. Dan Graziano, I'm looking at you. Do you have the guts to pick the Bears in an upset?
I do not. Maybe the super fan over there, maybe we can, but no, not me at all. I don't think they can score enough. I would love to see Justin Fields throw the ball down the field, no question about it, but they're protecting him as he develops. Nobody runs on the Bucs, so maybe they throw a little bit more, but I still don't think they're going to expose him.
Ninko, who's your pick?
Greeny, got to go with Tampa. I'm not going with Chi-Town. I'm going to get a lot of heat for that, but I'm a realist. I don't live in La La Land, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you can either get yelled at by your hometown buddies or your buddy Brady. Yeah. I would have made that pick too. Sacho, you're on Tampa?
Yeah, I'm on Tampa. I mean, like, I don't think it's the fact that the Bears are protecting Justin Fields. I just think it's an impotent offense at this moment, no matter who's calling plays. And so we saw it last year. We were hoping for some explosion. We haven't seen it. Once I see it, I will believe it.
RC?
Yeah, man, the only Bear I believe in this week is Yogi. And so I don't see the Bears pulling this one out. I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, too.
All right, we have much more football to go on this Football Friday, but we had a very interesting night in the NBA yesterday. Let me run the floor through some of the better games, and I'll start by saying don't sleep on the Heat. Miami got off to a scorching start last night against the world champion Bucks. They outscored them 40-17 in the first quarter, went on to an easy win, 137-95. Jimmy Butler had 21. Giannis held to just 15. An interesting game in Atlanta. The Hawks, a huge third quarter. They blew out the Mavericks last night, 113-87. Trae Young didn't shoot it well. He finished with 19 and 14 assists. Luka Doncic held to just 18 points in the loss. And then late last night, we showed you the highlights. Steph Curry was unbelievable. In the first quarter, he was 9-for-9 from the floor. Five of those were threes. He had 25 of his 45 in the first quarter, and the Warriors wound up beating the Clippers 115-113. And so I bring Big Perk back into the conversation here this morning. With Steph playing like that, and they're expecting to get Klay Thompson back maybe right around Christmas, are the Warriors, Big Perk, a legitimate threat to win the West?
Yes, Greeny, yes, they are. And look, when you look at what Steph Curry is doing right now, we already know what he could do offensively, far as shooting from the parking lot, moving without the ball, but his and finishing around the basket. We know he's one of the best scorers in the NBA right now, one of the best scorers in the game to ever play the game. But look at his supporting cast that he has. It's all about culture. Just remember, about 2 years ago, we were writing Andrew Wiggins off. And now Andrew Wiggins has become one of the better two-way players in the game today. You look at Jordan Poole. Did he put in work this summer? Yes, he did. Shout out to the Golden State player development. You look at Damian Lee, the way that he's playing. And then you mix the vets in with Draymond Green and his leadership skills. You got Looney. They brought back Iguodala. And I'm looking at this Golden State offense. They have the best offense in the NBA, Greeny, and it's unique. Everybody is running high pick and rolls and ball screens. They're moving and cutting, running the pick and pick action. It's hard to guard, and they're letting it fly.
They are so much fun and so pretty to watch, as they have been for such a long time. Again, when they get Klay back, don't sleep on Golden State. In the meantime, the big story everyone's talking about in the NBA continues to develop, and that is Ben Simmons and the Sixers. They are expected to meet later this morning to talk about his future. Simmons with the Sixers front office. He wants out. But listen again to Daryl Morey, the president of the team, in a Philadelphia radio station reiterating he's not getting rushed into anything.
Right now, any sort of trade, which obviously Ben Simmons wants, the best thing we can do is get role players back. That makes no sense. People should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time because our only path, my only job is to help us give the best chance to win the title. Ben Simmons is a difference maker, so if we can get him back, he will help us win the title. If we can trade Ben Simmons for a difference maker, we will do it.
All right, Malika Andrews, of course, is the host of the brand new program NBA Today, and she gets up with us early this morning along with Big Perk. Malika, what is the latest you are hearing on the situation with Simmons in Philly?
Good morning, Greeny. So the Sixers have shoot-around today at 10:30, and I was texting with a player this morning on the Sixers, and he was basically telling me, look, today is going to tell us a whole lot. It's going to tell us a lot about Ben Simmons' demeanor. He hasn't been coming into our practices or the shoot-arounds like we have heard Adrian Wojnarowski report over the last couple of days, and not only be engaging in the workouts, but be very engaging with teammates. Ramona Shelburne has mentioned he's had his head down a whole lot. That's the sense that I was still hearing. And yesterday, there was a question of whether or not they were going to be at a turning point. Perhaps he seemed a little bit more perky, a little bit more engaged, at least with his teammates. So the question now for his team is, okay, today, how is he going to show up at shoot-around if he participates in shoot-around at all? And then the game later tonight, which the expectation is it's unlikely that he plays.
Yeah, we have that game tonight. The Sixers, their home opener against Brooklyn. Big Perk, we know, so we're hearing from Malika how the teammates feel. We know how the fans feel, and we heard from the president of the team. So in your view, is Ben Simmons ever going to play for the Sixers again?
Yes, Greeny. Yes, he's going to play this year for the 76ers. And the reason that he has to play is because in order for Philadelphia to help him, he has to help the organization of the 76ers. And that means by going out there, playing at an extremely high level, upping his value so that the Sixers can trade him and get back an all-NBA or MVP caliber player. Look, I don't want people to take Ben Simmons for granted. He's a hell of a player, but at the end of the day, he's the one that created this mess. And right now, Ben Simmons, well, really, he has had it his way since he's got into the NBA, really since college. He's been spoiled, and now he has hit a little bit of adversity, and he don't know how to handle it. But I do expect Ben Simmons to play this year in the 76ers uniform.
May not have a choice, Malika, right? And Maury is saying, buckle up. So this is not something we should expect to get resolved in the next day or two, yes?
Absolutely not. It's something that I think we should listen to Maury be buckling up. One thing that I am watching, Greeny, is that there is a team rule with the Philadelphia 76ers, I'm told, that says that players need to be on the bench during games, even if they are unable to play, if they're able to be with the team in any way. And so that's a potential, again, not from the league, but from the team, for Ben Simmons to be fined. And so even if he doesn't play tonight, that's something that I'm going to be watching to see how that plays out as well. Because at what point are the fines going to continue to mount? They are clearly not looking for role players in exchange, like Daryl Morey said. So there's only one place we can go from here, and that is forward. But it may take a cool minute, Greeny.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Big Perk. Real quick.
Greeny, the ownership right now, they're so caught up in making a statement that I don't even think they care about winning the championship. I said this earlier in the show, and I'm saying it now. This is not about just Ben Simmons and the 76ers. This is about owners around the league versus players, and they're willing to make a risk not winning the championship to make a statement right now for the rest of the NBA.
Right, but as Malika points out, it's also about the fans. And if he is sitting on the bench tonight, that's going to be very interesting. All right, much more of this as Malika and Perk and RJ will be together this afternoon every day. Weekdays, 3 o'clock Eastern, our terrific new program, NBA Today on ESPN and the app, One App, One Tap. And then we will have that game tonight. You'll be watching on ESPN. Let's see if Simmons is on the bench. KD and the Nets, Embiid and the Sixers, 7:30 Eastern, followed by Devin Booker and the Suns, LeBron and the Lakers. We will start your evening with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern, right here on ESPN. Coming up, two of the NFL's best go head-to-head with everything at stake. Who has the edge in Nashville? We'll answer that question next.
Next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I just want to be the guy that can say that I beat him first.
This is going to be the biggest fight of my career.
What a display of power! My, oh my, was that something!
I will be his biggest test.
His defense is superb.
He doesn't get hit.
He ain't got no style. He ain't got no swag.
I know a lot of people out there are just looking forward to me shutting him up.
October 23rd might be his last fight.
That's going to be a good battle this weekend. So is this. Chiefs and Titans meeting for the first time since the 2019 AFC Championship. Kansas City seeking consecutive wins for what would be the first time this season. Meanwhile, the Titans are coming off that big win over the Bills on Monday night, which improves their record to 3-0 against teams that made the playoffs last year. They also have a chance to really run away and hide in that division. Our FPI gives the Chiefs a 59% chance to win this game. Of all the games in Week 7, this one has the highest pregame matchup quality, meaning it's that kind of interesting. Really good game. Entering the weekend, actually, let's talk about the Chiefs. They have a 72% chance to make the playoffs, as you see on your screen, with a loss that would drop to 61%. So this is a big game, and obviously we have the two great stars here in Mahomes on one side and Henry on the other. So let's go right to the picks. Who do you like in this huge matchup, Rob Ninkovich?
Tennessee Titans, and that's because of Derrick Henry and their ability to run the football. You look at them running the football against the Buffalo Bills, a top five defense. They're going to be going against the bottom of the barrel defense in the Kansas City Chiefs. So with that running game, they're going to feed Derrick Henry. They're going to run the football. So I'm going with the Tennessee Titans over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, sometimes things feel like too obvious to be true, but it certainly sets up for Derrick Henry to have an enormous game against that defense with the way he's been running the ball. Sacho, who do you like?
Yeah, I like the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they haven't been playing well this season, but it's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Tyreek Hill. It's still Travis Kelce. It's still the Kansas City Chiefs. And oh, by the way, Andy Reid is still coaching them. And so they'll get their situations figured out. They're going to win this game. I like Kansas City over Tennessee.
And so we're split so far. I'm trying to make up my own mind on this one, so I need you guys to help me. RC, which way are you going?
Listen, I like the Chiefs in the shootout that Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday would be jealous of. I think that the offenses of both of these teams are going to move the football in different ways. It's going to come down to crucial, critical situational football moments, and I think Patrick Mahomes makes just enough plays late to edge out the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so that's two votes for Kansas City. Graziano, which way are you going?
I'm going with the Titans. I agree with what Rob said about Derrick Henry against a very, very disappointing Chiefs defense right now. And I, honestly, of the two quarterbacks, based on the way the season is going right now, of the two quarterbacks, I think Kansas City's is more likely to commit a costly turnover. Just the way it's been breaking. It's crazy to say that about Mahomes, but
I just want to make sure I'm clear. Did you just tell me that you think that the Titans are going to beat the Chiefs, and one of the reasons is because you have more confidence in the other quarterback?
To not turn it over in a key moment. Yes. Because wow, it's harder to turn it over when you're handing the ball.
Don't hedge your bet, Dan. Answer the question.
Henry.
It was a bridge too far. I think RC's thinking it's
he
a.
You said, what did you say?
You were kind of there.
Not 100%, and I said what I actually
RC,
said.
RC, are we good with this?
No, Graz, you got to say it. You are picking Ryan Tannehill to make more plays and to be someone you can count on more than Patrick Mahomes. You got to say it. You believe in Tannehill more than Patrick Mahomes. Say it, Graz. Come on.
Unlike Ryan Clark, who makes his fundamentalist and worries about what everybody's going to say about it, I said what I said, and I stand by it.
Oh, Graziano, I like it. Okay, let's do take your pick. We've got other good games this weekend. Where am I starting? Actually, RC, I'm starting with you. Who has the bigger game, Patrick Mahomes or Derrick Henry?
I think it's Patrick Mahomes. And now I think Derrick Henry can do a ton. But if this does get into a shootout and the Tennessee Titans in any way have to depart from giving the ball to Derrick Henry constantly, then he's not even on the field. He'll be standing next to Mike Vrabel. So I think Patrick Mahomes has the bigger day and the more impactful one.
Sancho, I'm coming to you next. Jets, Pats, who has the bigger day, Zach Wilson or Mac Jones?
Oh, I like Mac Jones. I think he has a bigger day. Their offense, from an offensive standpoint, is dominant, or at least getting better. Let's not say dominant. And also, I just think from a play-calling standpoint, Mac Jones will have a better day.
Yeah, I can't even be upset about that. Who could possibly disagree? Bengals, Ravens, Ninko, take your pick. Who you got, Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson have the bigger day?
Oh. I love both these quarterbacks, but I got to go with Lamar, and that's coming from a defensive end that missed probably 30 sacks in my day because of mobile quarterbacks. So going with a quarterback that can get out of the pocket, scramble, run for first downs, throw for first downs, I'm going with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, for my money, that's the most interesting game of the day. Are the Bengals going to prove they go into Baltimore and win this game? Then I think they prove anything that people still think they need to prove. We have more to do here. And then First Take takes over top of the hour. Are we sleeping on Steph? What should the Sixers say to Ben Simmons today? First Take with the answers to those questions and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Our Saturday night football matchups, a Big Ten battle in Bloomington. Heisman hopeful quarterback C.J. Stroud leading the number 5-rated Ohio State Buckeyes against Indiana. That's 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. All right, we finish every Friday morning here with our Monday morning headlines. Everyone's going to project what we will be talking about Monday morning. Graziano, we'll start with you.
Derrick Henry rushes for 200 yards in the Titans' victory over the Chiefs. The most unstoppable force in the game right now against a defense that is not stopping anything. I think the Chiefs will get it together, but I don't think they will in time for this week.
Yeah, it is. He's the irresistible force, and they are the movable object. Sancho, you're next.
Yeah, nothing to see here. All the favorites take care of business. No surprises, no upsets. If you thought they were going to win, they are going to win. The better teams in all these scenarios win their games on Sunday.
All right, Sancho doesn't see the upsets. Ninko, how about you?
Well, to piggyback off of Derrick Henry running for over 200 yards,
that's right,
the Kansas City Chiefs will drop below 500. They're going to lose to the Tennessee Titans, and there'll be a lot of talk about why and how they're at that position at this point in the season.
Yeah, we told you earlier, if they lose this game, the Chiefs have only a 61% chance to make the playoffs. RC, finish it up. What do you got?
The Colts beat the San Francisco 49ers, and Dan Orlowski is the most insufferable person on TV. I see it right now. I will walk off of the set Monday morning, get up with Greeny, Rex Ryan, and Dan a minimum of 17 times. This is what I feel. I was right last week. I think I'll be right again.
I don't know what it is that we've gotten to a place that just seeing a picture of Dan Orlovsky makes us all laugh, but it did, right? He just popped up and we all laughed. What a fun morning. Thanks for getting up with us here. Enjoy all the games this weekend, but the fun continues with First Take now.